Well, hello everybody. Good to be here. Welcome to our Q&A call here, December 5th. Got quite a group here. I love it. Love it. All right, so just getting a couple things set up, guys, and then we're going to go ahead and get started. So just bear with me. All right. Hey, welcome everyone, and I'm glad you're here. This is a wonderful turnout. Love the dedication, the commitment here to getting your business off the ground and landing your first paying client. So what I'd like to do is, as usual, start our conversation here in the chat area with wins. Just always like to start these calls on a positive note. And if you wouldn't mind going into the chat area, typing in a capital W right now, and just sharing a win that you've had over the past couple of weeks. Now, just to be clear, a win can be anything that makes you feel good about your progress. Okay, it could be that, hey, you finally got started. You're in session one and they're moving forward. You finally got an insight or a breakthrough. You are maintaining the discipline of going through this material and implementing as you go. So anything that that really makes you feel like you're making progress, moving forward, creating some momentum, any of that is fair game. Okay, we just want to celebrate you, and it's just always inspiring to see what everybody's up to. All right, so let's see. Charlene says, first ever website is up and running. That is a huge step, Charlene. Congratulations. I know that is not an easy thing to do and to put yourself out there. So great to hear it. Regina says, finally finished the first section after realizing everything doesn't have to be perfect from the very beginning. Yeah, there you go. That's the spirit. Shannon says, drafting my first warm emails, plan on sending some out tomorrow. Wonderful. Love it. Edris says, finally got started. There you go. That's a win for sure. Cynthia says, got session 6 and 7 finished, feeling comfortable sending out warm emails. Congratulations. Beth, made solid updates to my website. Feels good. I know it does. Yeah, that's great. Let's see. Allison, learned about the one-page samples, a real breakthrough. Yeah, portfolio one sheet. Good stuff, isn't it? Chris finally got a paying client. Congratulations, Chris. Low paying, but nonetheless paying. Exactly. How much you're getting is really not the issue here. Those first 2-3 clients, it's really not about the income you earn from them. It's really about the boost in self-confidence that it gives you, the experience that you get from actually working with a paying client. Those are priceless. I mean, just that's where the value really is. So congratulations, Chris. That's great news. Esther says, made connection with a potential pro bono opportunity. Wonderful. John, I see your W, but I don't see your win, buddy. May have hit enter a little too soon. Susan says, a prospect I've been working with for 2 months signed a project. Oh, that's awesome, Susan. Look at you. And you had a really good head start coming into this. So that's fantastic, Susan. Love it. Marie, finished my first tiny assignment. Hey, again, any assignment is a good assignment at this point. So congratulations, Marie. Wonderful. This is great stuff, guys. You've obviously been busy. You've been going through this material and not just going through it, but implementing. That's really the key here. I'm curious, and of course, some of you have already told me this, but what is your focus right now? So in terms of your the material you're currently going through and implementing, let me know by typing in a capital I and just letting us know. You know, is it positioning? Is it your web copy? Is it launching your website, going live? Is it going through qualifying and pricing? Are you prospecting already? Where are you right now? Just curious to, and I kind of have a feel already, But tell me a little bit more if you haven't done so already. Marie says, I'm working on warm email prospecting. Great. Edris is working on positioning. Good stuff. Shannon, email prospecting. Allison, nearly finished drafting my web copy. Great. Chris is balancing prospecting and writing. Cynthia is email prospecting. So a lot of people prospecting right now. Good. Regina is working on her web copy. Beth is completing website updates, which is already live. Need to submit for review updates to LinkedIn profile. Good. Esther, working on warm email prospecting. Charlene, LinkedIn, then moving on to session 4, ready to get into prospecting. Good. Good. Yeah. Everyone's at a different stage. The beauty of this program is that you can work at your own speed. We have that suggested pace, but you know, it's not the kind of thing where everyone has to move along at the same pace, okay? I found that this model works better. Susan is trying to figure out what direction I should take my current website and if I should change the audience direction, also prospecting with warm emails. Okay, good. Good stuff. All right, so let's get to discussions and Q&A. So the ground rules are very straightforward, guys. Look, anything is fair game here as long as it's about your business launch, about any of the material in the program. Keep your question focused and specific. I can help you better if you give me something specific. One question per person, I can come back to you. We always have time for more than, you know, for a couple of rounds at least. If applicable, tell me what two options you're considering, what options you're considering if it's that kind of situation. That way I don't go down a rabbit hole. But while I'm waiting for, and put a capital Q in front of it, that's important so I don't miss your question, okay? You don't have to give me all the detail there. Just give me an idea of what you'd like to talk about, and I'll unmute you so we can have a conversation. It's usually much more productive that way. While you're typing in your questions, I'm going to go and check to see if there are any pre-submitted questions. In fact, that's a reminder that you can always pre-submit a question for the call. The only thing we ask is that you only pre-submit if you're not sure you're going to be able to make it live to the call, or if you know you're not going to be able to make it, but you want me or Susan to address your question, okay? And we'll always answer those first. So when you listen to the replay, you know you can kind of listen to the first part of the call and we'll answer your question there. The reason I'd prefer that you only pre-submit in your one of those two scenarios is I would prefer that that you ask your question here. If you're going to be live, it's just so much more productive for us to have a live conversation, okay? So just a little reminder there. I don't see any pre-submitted questions, so we'll go straight into live Q&A. And before I do that, let's see. John just said, just getting started, finished the first session. Hey, there you go. Journey of 1,000 miles, right? Starts with the first step. So great, John. That was John Fisher. John Acoin says, I still working on web copy, great learning experience. I've evolved, so this is taking a bit longer than anticipated. Hey, that's fine. That's fine. All right, so let's get to Q&A. The first question came from Shannon. She says, I'm in session 5 right now, email prospecting. You recommend exhausting friends and family before moving on to solid or cold prospects. You also say to commit to yourself sending X number of friends and family warm emails per week. My question is, if I've come up with 10 people who fall into this friends and family category, and I can send all 10 of those emails in one day, do I consider that exhausted and move on to email solid prospects, or do I give them some time to respond? If so, how much time? Yeah, great question. So let me bring you on, Shannon. We could talk a little bit about it. Let's see. There you go. Hey, Shannon.
Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
It's a great question. The reason I have that in there is I find that most of us work better with some kind of clear target, okay? Mm-hmm. A lot of people have, I don't know, 30-something contacts, and they're not sure what pace or what the effort should be like. So I say, look, that's fine, but give yourself a number. so that you know if you've met the target and you can feel good about it, or feel bad if you haven't met it. In your case, if it's 10, you know, get them done, get them all done in a day. That's fine. I would, you know, I would wait 3, 4, 5 days.
Okay.
And I'm not a kind of person to wait for too long. Mm-hmm. I think it's better to just keep moving. But in this situation, I think what you're doing is you're allowing yourself a little bit of time to practice, mm-hmm. you know? And so I would say 3, 4 days is fine.
Okay.
But if you're the kind of person who's ready to get going, then I would go in, then move to cold prospects.
Okay. That's yeah. Fine. That's kind of what I was kind of thinking in my mind. I just kind of want to jump into it and get going. And after going through that session and, you know, I'm like, maybe I should kind of slow my roll a little bit and just focus on friends and family. But, you know, there's a part of me that's just saying, just go for it, because I have, you know, that list of the 10 solid prospects that you had us come up with in that session. And I feel pretty confident about several of those, even though I don't know anybody personally in those companies, but I feel pretty confident about them. So.
Oh, perfect. That you've just answered the question right there. Then right. I would go for it.
Okay.
Get your, for, I would say you're an exception to the rule. I find most people in your situation are really nervous about mm-hmm. the stage. Mm-hmm. And if I told them, no, move right into your cold prospects, that's asking a lot.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing from you is totally different. And yeah. I would go for it. And here's the thing, no matter who you are and how you feel about it, this is a really good reminder for everybody here that, look, what's the worst that could happen mm-hmm. if you reached out to prospects who don't know you and you don't feel you've had enough practice yet? The worst that could happen is you'll get no response or a no thanks. Mm-hmm. Is that the end of the world? No. Another concern is, yeah, but what happens if, you know, I really want to work for them eventually? What if I botch it on my first attempt? Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you that in a few months, they're not going to remember that right. you reached out with a really poor, warm email. You know what I'm saying? So right. it's like we tend to treat these situations like we got to get it right the first time. And there's really nothing to lose.
Right.
Really nothing to lose.
Okay, great.
So yeah, go for it.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, Ed.
All right. Keep us posted.
You I will. Bet.
Okay. Edris says, my main concern is closing. Yeah. Definitely very common. So let me bring you in, Edris. Hey, Edris, how are you?
Hello, Ed. Hello, everyone.
Hello and welcome, by the way.
Thank you.
You just started. So closing, are you talking about closing to turning leads into paying clients?
Yes, if I can elaborate just a little bit. I've been in sales before, which did require cold calling. And I've gone through the role-playing participation with team members. But when it comes to actual real-life performance, closing has often been an issue. So I'm, admittedly, I'm sort of looking back in the past, but I'm being confident about the future and about this venture as well, because I think this is something that's more along my wheelhouse. But still, that concern will always remain until I create a pipeline.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's what I would say. Two things, Edris. You're not alone, okay? Believe me, you're not alone. This is a very common concern. I was in sales for a long time, and I was still concerned about my ability to turn mm-hmm. Prospects into clients. Mm-hmm. Second thing I would say is I wouldn't worry about it right now.
Sure.
That's like step 6 and 7.
Okay.
You're at step 1 right now.
Right.
So just focus on what's ahead of you and immediately in front of you, I should say. Mm-hmm. And let's just get one thing done at a time, and we'll get to that. There's a reason why I'm not going to get into that material until session 6 or 7, actually both of them. And that is, well, first of all, there's a method to the madness, right? And the second is your confidence will be higher than it is now by that point in the program. And then the third thing I would say, and I don't know if you can see my screen here.
Yes.
Okay. So the way that I will teach you to do this is, it's really cool because the way I know I was taught in, the way I was taught to do this, especially in my early days of selling, was actually something, it was like a regular pyramid where, you know, this is conversation. And this is qualifying, and this is selling or closing.
Okay.
And this represents the, as you move down the process, notice that this is where most of the effort happened.
Right.
Right. Effort meaning not so much time. It could be time, but it could be technique. And this is where you really have to open up your toolbox. You know, and what I'm going to teach you is actually the reverse pyramid. Okay. So as you move down, you know, this is marketing.
Okay.
Then website, then conversation, and then it's really an ask.
Okay.
So all right. Most of the effort, happens really here.
All right.
Right. So they're going to, meaning they're, you know, you're going to do some outbound marketing, which is going to get some people to your website. Mm-hmm. That's going to do a lot of the heavy lifting, which is then going to get you to a conversation. I'll show you how to handle that conversation. And then at the end, it's just going to be really a couple of simple questions. There's no technique. There's no trickery. There's no, all right, here we go. You know,
right.
you're not like selling a car, a used car, nothing like that.
Well, that is something I can do. And again,
yeah.
I appreciate the opportunity to even allow me to vent my concern.
Oh man, absolutely. Just, you'll see. No, it doesn't mean that these things close themselves. Okay.
Right.
But it'll be a lot easier than what you've been exposed to before. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Great. Look forward to it. Thanks again.
Sure thing. All right. Esther is asking, I am working on securing testimonials and noticed when reviewing other websites that pictures are included in the testimonial of the testimonial giver. Is this critical and does it add more credibility to the testimonial? Yeah, Esther, it's absolutely not required. Okay. So let me bring you in. Hey, Esther, how are you?
I'm fine, Ed. How are you?
Doing well. Yeah, it's you're starting to see it. Well, you've been seeing it for a while, and it does look nice, doesn't it? It seems to add some instant credibility to your testimonials. It's certainly not a must-do. You can do it. The reason I say, oh, yeah, absolutely do that, I hesitate to say that because – That could delay you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, wait a minute, I need to figure out how to get the image and how to upload it and how to make it look good. And if that's going to delay you a week, it's not worth it, you know?
Okay. Well, the reason I was even pursuing testimonials because I'm kind of, I'm light on the actual samples. And the niche that I'm pursuing, my background is human resources, so I'm kind of zeroing in on the human resources marketplace in terms of services, marketing kinds of material. And but I have some samples that are not related to that specifically. It's related to a whole different kind of industry. So I thought, well, securing some testimonials maybe from old colleagues that I've worked with in the past would be useful. I don't know if that's going to help me more. But I have words, I just didn't have pictures, and I thought, well, because of what I was seeing, it might make sense to do that. But I can go forward with putting those words out there, as you said, without the pictures. I just didn't know if people think that you could just make those up out of the air, you know, if you don't have a picture attached to it.
No, it doesn't. I would think of it as phase two. If you can figure it out pretty quickly, then go for it. And I mean, the nice thing is I bet that most of those people you're connected to on LinkedIn, so you can basically copy their headshot right from LinkedIn.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so that's an easy way of doing it.
Oh, all right.
But then getting it into your website, I just don't want you to spend a ton of time on that.
Uh-huh.
If you could do it easily, go for it. But if it's going to be, I find, listen, I'm just talking from personal experience. I'm the world's best procrastinator. I will say, so if it's something I don't want to do, like prospecting, I will find things to do that, and justify it to myself that, well, I can't prospect yet because I got to get these headshots up there.
Yes, I
you know what I'm saying?
I
so just
understand.
Be honest with yourself.
Yeah. Really.
You know, and now the one thing that this is a must, though, not with pictures, but with full names. I have seen some picture of people who will use testimonials and then they'll say, you know, Allison H. That is a huge mistake, especially that person has made the recommendation through LinkedIn, which is public. Or they've given you permission to use it.
Yes.
You know, so don't cut corners in that department. Show the person's full name and their company or organization. That's very important.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. John says, I'll be submitting web copy soon. I understand you only review once. Will you also review my website once it's up? Yeah. Okay. Good question, John. So we have a rule here that we do one review, and here's why. We used to be loose on that, but what we found was that it was really hard to uphold that and to draw boundaries around it. Okay. Because where does it end? You know. Okay. Well, we'll do another one for you. Well, then everyone would jump in and say, well, I didn't get a second one. So it began to be too much. We put a lot of time and effort into those. We do an actual video review. And before we do the review on video, we actually take the time to really look through your copy, make notes, make comments. So a lot of the work happens before the video, and then we shoot a 10 to 15 minute video walking you through each of the pages of your site or of your Word document, whatever you give us. So it's a lot that goes into that, and we want to do a really good job. We wouldn't be able to do it if we did more than one. So yeah, we're very clear about it. We don't sugarcoat it. We do one review. Now, what we then say is, look, because of that, just make sure that you're at least at the 80% or 90% level, meaning like, hey, you've done about the best you can do, but it doesn't have to be perfect. Okay, so 100% would be perfect. If you can get to 80 to 90%, that's great. What I find is trying to go beyond that 90%, you start getting diminishing returns, meaning it'll take you two additional weeks to try to get to 100%. And after 2 weeks of working really hard on making edits and refining, you're still not anywhere near 100. You might, after 2 weeks, you might be at 93%. Okay, then you spend another week and you might get to 94%. It's counterproductive. So, yeah, just pick which one you want. Do you want us to review it once it's up on your website, or do you want to send us the Word document, you know? And just you choose. Now, a lot of people choose to just go ahead and upload it there, even though we haven't reviewed them yet, and then have us review it once it's live on the website. And that's totally okay. Keep in mind that once you go live, it doesn't mean that the world is suddenly going to beat a path to your door online. It's not going to happen. It's totally safe, guys, to have your website go live even with copy that's not great, as long as you don't send people to it, okay? So, to answer your question, it's very straightforward. One review, up to you whether we do it on a Word document that you submit to us or we do it once you have that copy uploaded to your site, okay? Marie says, I want to do B2B with companies that are in the green, recyclable, renewable alternative space, but my background is entirely different. When I made my website, it focused on the area where I had experience, and I'm worried that I won't be able to pivot to the area I want to be in. Can you give advice about that? I don't want to end up writing about something, real estate, for instance, I'm not that interested in, when the whole point of this is to do something I really like. Yeah, Marie, good question. This comes up quite a bit, so you're not alone. Let's talk about this. Hey, Marie, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you, Ed?
Doing well. Yeah, this comes up a lot. And here's the general advice I would give you. I would start with what you know and just trust that you will be able to pivot, okay, at some point. And here's, there are a couple of reasons why, okay. Let me draw it this way. It's the biggest leap, the hardest leap, is going from where you are now to, let's say, first level in your business. Meaning, like, you now have a few clients, you're making an income from it. You know, you're not rolling around in dough, but you're making it happen. Okay. That is the biggest leap. Once you're here, getting to pivoting to a different market, it's a lot easier. But making the jump from where you are now to here is much, much more difficult. Okay. And you might say, well, I think I want to put forth the extra effort. Here's the danger of that. There's some psychology behind it you got to be very mindful of. That is, the longer it takes you to go from now to where you want to go, let's just say is here, the bigger the chances that you're going to give up and just quit and just abandon this whole thing. Okay, so it's more important to, you know, to get here as quickly as possible, because at least you're surviving, you know, you're above water. And then once you're here, this is an easier transition than to wait until you get here. Once you get here, if you wait that long, you might drown. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I still don't know how I'm going to get people to hire me for something I don't have professional experience in, but I guess I'll figure that out when I get there.
You will. You will. And two things will happen. Well, actually, a variety of different things could happen. But I've seen this over and over again. And one scenario, Marie, is that once you get going, your interest and your perspective on that will probably evolve. So that's one thing. Another thing that could happen is that once you're here and you're working at this level, you'll get new ideas and you'll be taking down different paths that you could have never imagined right now. Okay. I mean, when you think about it, that's life, isn't it?
Right.
I guarantee you that where you are right now is not what you planned when you were 18.
Right.
Right. So that's mm-hmm. life. I mean, those are really the two big scenarios. And then number three would be that once you're here, the answer, if you're still adamant about going into sustainability and renewable energy and so forth, then those answers will appear.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like you get in your car and you're not really sure exactly, you know, from Atlanta to San Francisco, and you're going to make that road trip. You have an idea, but once you're on the road, you figure it out. Of course, it's a little different. That metaphor breaks down these days with GPS and all that, but it's almost like you just got to get on the road and it's going to happen. You just start moving. The biggest mistake you can make is to not move, because you're trying to map this very difficult, you know, course to here.
Okay.
It really does look like that. And many times it's not going to be here where you're going to end up. It's going to be in a different area that you haven't considered. But once you're here, you learn about this new area or industry or topic or type of project that you didn't even consider before, maybe because you didn't even know it existed. And it ends up being the thing that you really want to do. I've coached many, many people who set on this path and they ended up in a completely different path. Now, did they feel like they wasted their time? No, because they realized, you know what, had I not gone down into the freelance writing or copywriting space, I would have never come across this other opportunity that eventually I came across that changed my life for the better, you know? So you just got to have to allow serendipity to have its say, a bit of it.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure, sure. Don't give up on the drama. I'm not saying give up, okay? I hope you...
I get that.
You got that. Yeah, okay. But it's just, I would start moving.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There's a great book out there, guys. It's on this topic. I just finished reading it a couple months ago. It's called Obliquity. And it talks about how anytime you have a complex problem or scenario, and what we're working on right now, trying to go from where you are right now to your business off the ground and landing paying clients is absolutely a complex scenario because there's so many variables. The challenge is that, you know, you're here now and you could end up somewhere in here. We don't know. What I do in my work, in these systems that I'm teaching you, essentially take those possibilities and narrow them down. Okay, so now we're dealing with this set of possibilities. Okay, or if you want to look at it this way, it's, you know, it could be more like this. Okay, so I'm helping you narrow down the field of possibilities of where you're going to end up. And it's a combination of not just the systems I'm teaching you, but obviously you having the discipline to implement this consistently, okay? That the stuff doesn't get implemented on its own. But it's a fascinating book because it just shows you that the whole concept of the book is the best path to solving complex problems and to getting from where you are right now to where you want to be is usually indirect. You know, so Marie is trying to get to this place. She doesn't know how, okay? You just have to move forward. And the best path to get there will be indirect. And it will reveal itself as you move in this direction, okay? And it's a very comforting thing to understand because you don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to have enough to just take the first few steps. And that's all we're working on in here. All right, Chris says, I'm finishing session 8 and I technically have a paying client. Does that mean I'm done? If so, what do you recommend as the next steps in my development? I'm worried that I'm going to pigeonhole myself as a bargain cheap writing guy. I'd like to move toward more technical writing and I'd like to keep upping my writing skills. Yeah, good question, Chris. So let's talk about that. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
How are you, man? Doing good. Well. Congratulations again. That's excellent.
Thank you.
Yeah. So it depends. So here's how the program works. It's 9 weeks or until you land your first paying client through September 30th if you haven't landed your first paying client. Okay. So we'll continue to work with you and coach you, give you feedback and all that good stuff until you land that first paying client or September 30th, whichever one comes first. So it depends on where you are right now in the program. I think you're still fairly early. I don't think you're at 9 weeks yet, right?
You know, actually I've been here. I started sometime in October and maybe,
yeah.
And I'm technically on session 8. Doesn't mean I mastered the previous ones, but I've kind of worked through a lot of this stuff. So I guess I'm close to being able to just hit complete on session 8. And so and by the way, you know, I don't know if that's fast or if that's slow, but I'm
no, that's about right. Okay. That's about right. So the complete is really more just because we only want to release the next lesson just to help you avoid overwhelm. It really has nothing to do with the timing of the program. That's really for your benefit. So by the way, everyone, yeah, just a reminder, hit complete at the end of each lesson to unlock the next lesson. But be honest with yourself, you know, don't hit complete until you've implemented that material. Some of it, it's not the thing you implement once. A lot of it is like prospecting, right? It's just, that's an ongoing thing. So yeah, you'll probably, you know, sounds like you're getting close anyway. the end of the year sometime. You know, I have to look up exactly when you enrolled. Here's the good news. The good news is the material that I'm giving you guys in this program continues to apply beyond just your first couple of clients. Okay, like you can take a look at it and realize, okay, so does this apply? Yes, it does. The key is to gradually raise your fees. That's usually one of the most important things that you're going to want to do. In a good rule of thumb is to just raise them by 20% with every new client. So if you quote a $200, you know, next project like that, quote $240. Okay. I use that as a rule of thumb because maybe you say, oh man, no, it needs to be higher than that. Okay. If you got the confidence to go higher, then go higher. Absolutely. And then, you know, everything about qualifying, pricing, prospecting, it's there. Now, are there other things you could do? Absolutely. But you could get by on using and implementing and refining and getting better with this material for a while. Okay, I structured it that way. I didn't promote it that way, but that's how it's structured.
Good.
I don't have coaching until you, an additional coaching for you until you get to the $5,000 a month income level on average. So once you get there, you know,
it's gonna drop
me a line. It'll be there before you know it.
Well, okay. I'm very optimistic. And this is not, I don't know, it's not to make you feel good, but a lot of what you've suggested has actually come through in some way. You know, it's not, like you're saying, it's not predictable. So in a way, I feel a little bit lucky that I know a lot of people and people needed some writing help. But in my case, I have the scenario where I have people that I've helped with an initial project, and then maybe there will be more work down the road. So I guess that upping by 20% thing I'm thinking might help in that scenario as well, or some version of that, if you're staying with the same client. So
Yeah, it does. Okay. Because with the same client, the way to do it is typically you help them with something with X, and now they need help with Y. And here's the way you do it. Let's just say with X, you basically took 80% off what I gave you in the pricing.
Right.
The fee schedule.
I remember
okay?
that.
So with Y, maybe what you do is you take, you know, 60% off.
Right. And I've explained that. I've said, you know, this initial project, this is on me, and I appreciate you working with me. If we start to do things down the road, that's when we'll start looking at some kind of fee arrangement. I think that's helpful. But then, yeah, how I actually spell that out is helpful as well. I mean, how I say it and position it, all of that. So thanks for going through that.
Absolutely. And of course, use each of those opportunities, each of these clients can become a referral source too.
That's a good point too. Right.
You know, to make sure to squeeze as much of that orange as you can. And you know, what I would do is go where it's easiest. So where I would go for more, I mean, keep prospecting the cold prospects, but I would spend maybe a little bit more energy on trying to get more work out of existing clients and trying to get more referrals out of them. Because that's going that's an easier path, but you don't want to get too soft. So, you know, still make sure to continue doing a little bit of cold, you know, warm meal prospecting the cold prospects.
Right. Okay.
And then send me an email when you get to 5K a month.
I sure will. You know, and just for the people on the call, what I'm finding is that I have a lot of friends who are entrepreneurs, and it's not that they know that they need writing, but what they need even before that is they need to understand their own marketing. So don't hesitate. I mean, what's helped me is helping them figure out, why do I want to write something new in the first place? to, you know, they might want to rewrite their website, but they don't realize why they even have a website. So you have to like even take a step back and, you know, review, well, what do you want to accomplish? What do you, so that's all stuff that I would envision kind of maybe charging for down the road. But obviously when I'm new like this, this is comes part of the package.
Yeah, I love it. Feel free to suggest ideas to your clients, and don't be afraid to make mistakes with the pricing. Like, a lot of people freak out, oh my gosh, what do I charge for that? It's not even an Ed's Master Fee schedule. You know what? Do your best. Right now, it's really more about getting practice than about trying to optimize your pricing. So, I mean, this is how you learn. You know, I remember one of my first clients that they gave me some brochure work and then a couple other things, and they started getting a little bit offbeat. Like, hey, we have one of our subject matter experts wrote this position paper on X, and it was in the pharmaceutical industry. And but it's a mess. You know, could you do some editing on that? I had no idea what to charge for editing. You know, so I kind of came up with something, and you know right. What? Honestly, it ended up being too low. And then they gave me like five more of those, and they were brutal. They were brutal. It was right. So academic. I had to turn it into a business document. But you know what? You live and learn. So I made money. I mean, I was making money. It just wasn't earning what I wanted to on them. And it's not the kind of thing I enjoyed, but I learned a lot. And then I also learned what I liked and didn't like and what I, and eventually in the future would say no to.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good. But yeah, I did a couple blog posts for somebody. It took me, I don't know, you know, several hours per post because I was doing all this research. And then They said what they said they liked them. And then they said, well, how many of these can you do per day? So now I just need to understand how, you know, to streamline my process.
Yeah, I hear you. No, that's good, man. So, well, listen, congratulations again. Okay. It's wonderful.
Thanks.
You bet. Always great to hear these success stories. I know it's very motivating for other people on the call. So thanks for telling us more. Cynthia says, I had someone reach out to me on LinkedIn that does digital marketing and wants to use me for any referrals when any of my clients may need a digital marketer. And he mentioned he would allow me a 10% commission on first 90 days of his contract with clients for referrals. Do you feel this would benefit me with any leverage, having a digital marketer in the shadows for clients with projects down the road that may require a digital marketer? Or is this just really a benefit to this digital marketer? All right, so let me bring you in so can make sure to I understand. Hey, Cynthia.
Hey, Ed.
This is great. So, I mean,
like I was going to be used for, you know, his purposes only. But then I started thinking about it. I thought, well, maybe it is a good thing. I mean, I get, you know, I am a new copywriter, but maybe it would be a good thing as leverage for me with new clients that somebody did need a digital marketer. I can refer somebody to them, but I don't really know anything about this person either to really even know, you know, if it's somebody I would want to refer to him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know if you come across a need for digital marketers in your writing, or is that just something that you really don't even deal with?
All right. Can you hear me, Cynthia?
I can now, yes.
All right. I just, sorry about that. It looks like I, it just, yeah, then the connection finally died, so I had to reconnect. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So I'm not sure where I, where I left. I just kept talking.
Well,
so here's the thing. The real value of a recommendation comes from your understanding and your knowledge of a certain resource that you trust. And it's not about having a name or just any name. It's from, I know this gal, I know this guy, this would be right up their alley. I'd be happy to refer you to them. So your job is not so much kind of have a list of random people, but it's more of a, it'd be nice to have, over time, you'll develop this roster of people who have special skills that you might be able to refer in situations where you can't do, you know, what the prospect is looking for. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And my question to you, then, how many times have you come across somebody, a client that has asked you about a digital marketer? Is that something that you run across very often, or?
Not a lot. So here's what you typically see. Okay. General rule is the bigger the organization, the more they're looking for specialized skills. The smaller the organization, the more they want somebody who can do a turnkey, can offer a turnkey solution. So what do I mean
okay.
by that? A bigger company, it doesn't have to be Fortune 500. I mean, it could be a mid-sized company. They're going to have a marketing department, and they're going to be looking for a writer or copywriter for help with, you know, their copy on their website or a white paper or an article or a series of articles or whatever. They already have a designer relationship. They already have a web designer, web person, you know, some other people, whether they're internal or external resources. Okay, so they're willing to be the hub and project manage this thing. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So they'll hire out all these functions, and then smaller companies don't usually, many times, don't have all those relationships. So when they come to you, many times they would find value in you having a team of people that either work under you or that you can bring in, and everyone works with a client separately, individually.
Okay.
Okay. So when you're going to come across, usually when that comes up, it's going to be a smaller organization, and they're looking, if they say digital marketer or somebody who can, you know, like an agency or a firm, they're looking for someone who can do it all because they don't have the expertise to be the hub. They just want somebody to handle it all and just give them what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And because my focus was always kind of mid-sized companies, I didn't come across that a lot because they were the hub. They were the project manager.
I see. So I may come across that quite a bit if I'm working with the smaller to mid-sized companies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the smaller end of mid-size into smaller companies, startups, solopreneurs, and that. What's your target market?
Insurance.
Yeah. So you might come across it like individual, independent brokers. And so I know insurance has many layers to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because these products are being packaged and resold, and you know, there's a lot of it's not a very flat system.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those people are independent or really small businesses, and they're just kind of moving paper and all that. So yeah, you may come across that.
So it sounds like it would be a good leverage to have in place, but how do I know that this guy's even, you know, legitimate?
You don't.
I know.
You don't. So where I was going with that was, yeah, you know, I would say, hey, thank you. I would ask him, if you don't have it already, to for his website so you could take a look around. And but it's going to be, you know, you don't know anything beyond that at this
mm-hmm.
point. So there's really no value in you being able to refer him because you don't know the person personally.
Okay. I appreciate that. I just didn't know if I needed to waste any time on that or not.
Yeah,
at first, I was excited when he got a hold of me. So I thought, oh, he's wanting me to be a copywriter.
Yeah, no, I love the excitement and the spirit behind it, but it's, yeah, I don't think there's really a lot of value there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Oh, you bet. All right, guys. So let me see if I can retrieve. All right. So I'm embarrassed to say this. When the call disconnected or the session disconnected, I lost the questions beyond Cynthia's. Okay. So I hate to ask this of you, but if you typed in a question after Cynthia, would you mind? You don't have to type in the whole question. Just type in a cue. And then a word or two about what it was, and then I'll bring you in, okay? So I think that might be the most practical way of doing it. In the chat area, just type in a cue, a couple of words that describe your question, and basically, if I haven't gotten to you, then maybe that's the best criteria. If I haven't gotten to you yet, then I lost the chat thread. Okay, good. I see Susan's got one. Charlene, okay, great. Thank you, guys, and thanks for being patient with me. I've never had that happen to me before. I don't know what happened, if it was on my end, if it was Zoom. Susan says, my current website is targeted to small French tech startups. After doing the positioning exercise, enterprise tech companies are coming up stronger due to my past career work at IBM and TI. Now I'm trying to decide if I should revamp my website or a way to get to and gain more freelance expertise first. The client I just signed with is a mid-sized French company. Yeah, let's talk about that. Hold on, Susan, let me find you. Hey, Susan.
Hi there. Hi, Ed. Hi, everyone.
Hello. Welcome aboard. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
So right now it's targeted to small French tech startups. Now, is it really obvious? I mean, are you screening that all over your site?
Yeah, it really is. Because, you know, when I really started my business, you know, there's just a really very high growth in that area. There's a really big focus in France for the startup community. There's a lot of fun, you know, there's a lot of seed money out there. So there's a lot of startups. So I really created a website that really targets that segment where, you know, I talk about my strength being an American in France, you know, past experience in the tech community, and all the messaging and, you know, how I talk and the language I use, you know, is to really appeal to that target segment, which tends to be, you know, younger. You know, they're very much focused towards the American market or North American marketplace when they want to go global. So the website's very much focused in that area. But when I started really doing the positioning, you know, what I found was that the strengths, I mean, I just figured my strengths in the tech was because I had worked at two technology companies. And I didn't think about the fact that having, you know, worked inside two very large companies, I know how to navigate in a very large, you know, very, very large company and the challenges that, you know, marketing people have in terms of, you know, how to get projects going, how to find the right people to do them, you know, the various hoops they have to go through for like legal approval for copy. You know, I've lived it all. And so after kind of looking at doing all the positioning, looking at my network, you know, it's coming out to be really strong. And I'm just wondering if I should kind of lay low, go kind of continue on my path, or if I really should start thinking about how I should maybe kind of revamp my website and maybe focus on this, because my end objective was always to kind of go towards the really large companies or the mid-sized to large companies, because, you know, they have more work and of course pay is going to be much better.
Yeah.
No secret there, but I just figured before I could do that.
Yeah. So here's what I would suggest, Susan. I would suggest, by the way, one last question. How did you land this new client, this mid-sized French company? How did that come about?
It was, you know, a contact that I had made about 2-3 years ago, and we had just stayed in contact. And, you know, through another person that we had met, she's an American also in France, we had actually met this other person for dinner one night, and we started talking, and she said, well, she may have some stuff, you know, coming up, and so 2 months ago, I just, you know, contacted her again on LinkedIn and said, you know, hey, is anything, you know, do you need any help in writing? And that's just kind of how it, It was a contact that I had made several years ago that finally came to fruition.
Yeah, and that's how it happens, right? It's serendipity, and I mean, how do you...
Exactly.
You know, I was talking earlier about you just got to get out there and the possibilities and the opportunities open up. But it takes getting out of the house. I mean, metaphorically speaking, right? So... the bigger the chances that you'll lose hope. Okay. Now your hope has just been renewed in a big way because you just landed this client. That's awesome. But you know, so you went like this, let me go to a new page. You went like this, but you know, if something doesn't happen again soon, it's going to start waning. Mm-hmm. So we need to get you back up. And if you, instead of getting back up and instead of doing what you're supposed to do, if you take now, let's say a month, to kind of rethink this and rework your website, here's what's the chances are that you're going to start, because you're not going to get activity. And in a way, you're kind of like hitting the pause button because mm-hmm. you're revamping. And let's face it, I mean, you have a beautiful site, you have great stuff, and you know, when you go down this road, it's easy to go down a rabbit hole very quickly, right? So, you know, then that keeps you on this path and, you know, no bueno, right? Mm-hmm. So I would say, look, let's just, you know, keep what you have right now. Mm-hmm. And let's get to a different playing field. Let's get you here. And once you're here, then maybe take the time to, you know, do a little bit. And what will happen is, you know, maybe the trajectory won't be as steep, you know, be more like this. And then you'll get a bump because here the air is fresher. The mm-hmm. confidence is higher. You have more financial runway. A lot of things have happened that are going to make this right here not quite as steep and long as this. Mm. In fact, you're going to have constraints that won't allow you to take this much time. You know, you're going to have to just, you know, cut bait here and just get going. And I think you're going to do a better job. You're going to be more efficient with it. And by then you would have had more clarity on it because you would have had a little bit more incubation time, you know, in terms of your positioning. But so there's that. The second reason for just, you know, stick with what you have right now mm-hmm. is you look at what just happened. This happened through a connection. And I can't guarantee you this, but there's a good chance that your next one or two clients will happen from a very similar scenario, mm-hmm. right? When you have a relationship where you come referred by someone who knows you, guess what? You have an opportunity to have the discussion about how, you know, I know I talk on my website, if you've checked it out, that this is the market I specialize in or focus on. But let me tell you a little bit about my background, because I really think that based on what you guys are doing and who you are, I can absolutely help you. Mm. And you're given that opportunity. Why? Because somebody has signed off on you. Somebody has given you the blessing, or they know you directly. Mm. But when you don't have a relationship, your website has to stand on its own. And for some prospects, that might be fine. They might say, yeah, I get it, but I look at her background and she's got all this enterprise experience. I wonder if she can still help us, and they'll give you a chance. So you have too much to lose right now, I think, if you hit the pause button, but so much to gain if you don't. Long answer, but does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I understand what the direction you're saying. Really, I should just focus on what I've got, stay out there prospecting. Maybe I shouldn't even shy away from going into enterprises for, you know, because I kind of shied away from that audience because I figured I had to have more freelance experience to gain mm-hmm. that credibility. But, you know, maybe I'll go ahead and try to, you know, target them too with the current website and just, like you say, see how it pans out.
Absolutely. And when you do that, when you knock on doors, so to speak, your message, and I'm going to teach you how to do this later in session five, in your email, in your message, you can kind of preempt a lot of their questions and potential objections right there by saying, you know, a lot of what I do is with funded startups. However, I also work with mid-size and enterprise companies because of my experience at IBM and TI, et cetera. You know what I'm saying? So you have an opportunity to add kind of a PS, if you will, to your message that if you didn't add that and they go straight to your website from there, which they will, they might be a little confused.
And do you think for writers, they can, on their homepage, segment their market, or, you know, are you this type of company? Click here. I mean, is that too?
You could. You could. You know, you have to be careful there. There's a way to make it so that it doesn't sound like you're trying to please everybody.
Yeah.
You know, if you're an enterprise software company, click here or I can help you. If you are a massage therapist, I can also help you. And if you can fog a mirror, we should talk. You don't want it to come across like, well, I know I should pick a target market, but I don't want to. I want to serve everybody. I think right now, here's the thing. There are different layers of specificity, okay? And let's just say you could go as broad as saying B2B companies, okay? You can also say tech, which is more specific. You can say enterprise software, and you could say, let's just say supply chain management, which is one type of enterprise software. My recommendation at this stage for pretty much everybody, and I'll tell you about the exception, is to, I call them the no-fly zones, avoid being way too broad, or generally avoid being way too specific out of the gate. Right. Everything in the middle is fair game. So as long as you stay somewhere in there, and what we've talked about is just qualifies, then you're okay. What will happen is that over time, you will naturally move down into specificity because you'll have enough experience. You'll know, okay, I want to do more of this. I don't want to work for these kinds of companies. In fact, I want to work for just, you know, these three very specific segments in software. And you could do that, and you know you'll be able to get away with it at that point. But right now, stay kind of in the middle. The only exception here would be if you have enough industry experience and contacts that you know you could make a great living right out of the gate by starting off the specific. Most people don't have that. So, yeah, don't worry that, oh, man, but what about next year? What about eventually? Look. You're gonna naturally move down.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would say start where you are right now. Leverage your contacts, relationships, referrals. When you send out your pitch and your message, say that you know one of your target market tends to be, or you like to work with, funded startups. However, you also really enjoy the, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I get you.
Preempt that.
Approach. Yeah.
Objection. Okay.
Okay, that's excellent. I appreciate that a lot. Thank you so much.
Yeah, don't stop. We want to get you. We want to keep this up because it's going to start going down a little bit, and we want to keep you, you know, kind of above water.
I appreciate that.
Sure thing. Yeah, my pleasure. This comes up a lot. So hopefully this is beneficial to others who are wondering something similar. Charlene says, my website is up, but I forgot to put my AWAI verified logo link in my PWA logo. I'm having trouble getting those from the zip file to the page. Going to put them on my Why Choose Me page. Yeah, okay, so, hold on, Charlene, let me unmute you. For some reason, it's not allowing me. Well, I don't know if you're trying to do it on your end, too. All right, here's what I would say, Charlene. Oh, I think you, there you are. Hey, can you say something, see if I can hear you?
Hey, Ed.
Hello, how are you?
I am doing great, thank you, how about you?
Doing well. Here's what I would say. Listen, don't worry about that right now.
Okay.
That is not going to magically get you clients, number one. I know we all want, you know, for every little edge we can get, I get it. But don't worry about it right now.
Okay.
What I would ask you to do is if you can, in the current Q&A thread, ask the question and tag Crystal.
Okay.
Is your site a WordPress site?
Yes.
Okay. And ask her, and she can direct you or point you to the video. She's got a couple of video tutorials in the program.
Okay.
In fact, I would even ask her that. It's like, hey, I'm trying to upload these logos, having a hard time. Here's what's happening. Let her know exactly, you know, what's not working.
Okay.
Or what you're getting. And then see, is there a tutorial in the, you know, the WordPress training on how to do this?
Okay.
And she can help you out. I used to know how to do that, but I no longer do it. So much has changed.
Sounds good. Yeah. I appreciate your help.
Nothing to, like, you just keep moving.
I'm just excited.
You get it done. Yep.
That sounds great. After listening to you talking to the other people, I'm thinking, you know what, those just don't even really matter. I'm keeping, like, you know, I wanted them on there for a little more credibility, you know, but you made a comment that was like, I think it was in one of the sessions in one of the audios, and you were talking about, you know, you're looking for those people who are looking for where you are right now.
Yes.
And I can't tell you how much better I felt when you said that, because I'm like, I gotta be, you know, and you said that, I'm like, okay, well, no problem then, I can do that. And just relieved a lot of stress and pressure. So when you were talking and I was listening, I thought, you know, those really don't matter right at the moment. I've got the thing up and going, never done that before. That's huge. And it was just really, you know, like pumped, confident, like, all right, I can do this thing. And I'm like, you know what? I want to keep moving. I don't want to get stuck in those details and lose the momentum.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, it is a detail. It is a detail. Nice to have if you have it, when you can figure it out, how to get it up there, fine. But I don't want anyone here to hit pause because they're trying to figure something like this out.
It's
all about ready, fire, aim, and that definitely falls into the categories of things that aren't really going to move the needle that much.
Okay.
But when you have it, go ahead and put it up there. You know.
All right.
Cool.
I can do that.
Cool.
Thanks, Ed.
All right, and I'm glad that comment resonated. That's totally it. It's just a reminder for everybody. You're not looking. You don't need IBM to hire you today. And this is not a reference, by the way, to Susan, who worked for IBM. But, you know, the proverbial IBM, you don't need these, like, amazing companies to hire you today. You're only looking for someone who's willing to hire you based on what they see right now. You can't predict what that's going to be or who that's going to be. Sometimes the need is so great and you came in at the right time. I think we've all been there. When you think about your professional life, how it's not that they felt you were the absolute best candidate ever. It's just they had a need. You happened to apply. The other people weren't as good as you. So guess what? You got it. And that's how it is here. You don't have to tick all the boxes. Life just doesn't work that way. And you're just looking for someone needy enough that they're willing to, you know, that's how it is. Like, let's just say it, okay? We want people who are desperate or don't know any better.
Sure.
And that's great. That's, guess what? My first few clients, that's how they were. They, for some reason, thought that I had more experience than I did. I didn't lie about anything. I just positioned myself well. Or they were desperate. They needed some help. And You know, I was cheap enough and available and at the right place at the right time. So that's what we want.
Fantastic.
All right. Laird says, hi, I may need some advice on my core differentiator between medical imaging and healthcare IT, as I can fit both based on my 28 years experience of sales, tech support, and pro user and publishing industry. Yeah. Hey, Laird, how are you?
How are you?
Hello. Laird, can you hear me? Hey, how are you? Oh, I think you muted yourself. Let's try that again. Here, Laird, don't do anything. Let me try it on my end. Let me try to unmute you. All right, I think you're back.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. How are you?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, it's a great question. What do you do? So core differentiator between medical imaging and healthcare IT. So what specifically are you trying to decide on in terms of who you're going to focus on, or which differentiator are you going to pick as your top differentiator?
Yeah. Okay, well, I think one the way I arrived at these two is because of my background. Okay. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So what happened is that originally I was.
Oh, I lost you, Laird.
How about now?
Okay, yeah. It seems like you're muting yourself. Are you touching anything on your phone?
Oh, I think I know what it might be. Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right, I think I have figured it out. Right, so I was originally hired to do technical support for Apple Computer here in Trinidad.
Okay.
Then they moved me to sales. I didn't like sales originally, but funny enough, I was quite successful at it for 5 years, right? After leaving that, I went back to freelancing and went into the area of technical support again. That got me into the high-end publishing, which is something called an image setter, which cost like around $60,000. So I was doing installation, software training, and that type of thing. That's because of those type of devices and the image setters, I was thinking medical imaging would be similar to that, because a complex system, it's got similarities with radiology and MRIs and that type of machinery. Mm-hmm. But also, I also did workflow systems, all in publishing, which started leaning me towards healthcare IT. The problem I'm coming up with my core differentiator being that I've worked in sales, I've worked in technical support, I'm a user where I can create annual reports. Anything to do with print publishing, I can handle. That's like my DNA. All right. So now I have to do, am I differentiating how I am? And I'm a soup to nuts person. I'm confused. You understand what I mean?
Well, I think the first thing you need to determine is which target market are you going to focus on. And once you make that decision, then identifying your core differentiator will be the next thing to determine. Okay, so I would do one at a time.
Okay.
So which target market did you decide might be your best option?
I was thinking.
Or are you still trying to determine that?
No, I was leaning towards healthcare IT.
Okay.
Which is part of medical devices then, but just the software side of it.
Okay, sure. Okay, in that case, then the now you have to figure out, so if it's health IT, healthcare IT,
right?
Okay, what items and experiences in your background help support that? You know, that's what you need. You know, you need to figure out and then which one of those is going to be kind of like the top one. And then lead with that one. That's going to be the first one that I would write about in my YME page.
Okay. I should really focus more on the IT side than the healthcare side. Can that work?
You could, but you don't have to pick one or the other.
Okay.
What are you still trying to determine your positioning right now? So are you still working through session one?
Yeah, I'm at the stage where you have to get clarity on your differentiator.
Okay, perfect. So because healthcare IT is a combination of healthcare and information technology, then correct. I would say differentiators that that really address one or the other or both. Okay.
Okay.
And just focus on that. And I say that because then that means that, you know, your publishing experience like that won't be as relevant here.
Correct.
As your experience with medical devices, IT, healthcare IT, et cetera. So you're looking for things that help support the fact that you're going after this market. You're looking for differentiators where you could say, okay, why healthcare IT? Why me? Why choose me to, if you're a healthcare IT company? Well, because of this experience, and because of this experience, and because of this background.
Right. Now, quick question here. If it is, why I'm thinking the healthcare medical devices are complex type devices. Mm-hmm. I've worked with a lot of complex devices, but they're really in the publishing industry. So I was wondering, is it a stretch to try and, you know, use that as part of the differentiators to that, you know, I've worked with complex devices before, even though it's publishing?
You could. Yeah, you could. And you'll see, this will become a little clearer in the next session, because now you're going to be able to use it, you're going to create a page. It's called the Why Me page.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
The
that's
way you're going to do it, it's. I'm going to suggest that you pick like three different differentiators and treat them as different buckets. And for each one, you're going to write a headline and then some copy underneath it. And in that case, what I would do is if you want to include it, you don't have to have three, you could have four or five. But I would make that one your last one. So in fact, I'm going to use red here. Make that your last one because you want your best one to be on top. You see what I'm saying? And then the ones that maybe are not quite as strong in the middle, and then the last one, the one that's not as strong, or the ones that are not as strong will be toward the bottom.
Right. I see what you mean.
Yeah. So for your purposes right now, just keep it on your sheet. List them all. Don't get rid of any of them. And then when you get to the phase where you're writing your copy, then you'll be able to pick the best three or four, and then you can kind of discard the rest.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yep. Give it a try.
Okay. Yeah. Good luck.
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome. Allison says, for the services page, is it okay to list services that I've not done before? If I only list services that I've done, then I wouldn't be a very long list. Yeah. So Allison, it's a, hey Allison, how are you?
I am fine, thank you.
Yeah, it's a good question. Here's a general rule. And I learned this from Bob Lai years ago. He told me, look, list services that you're very interested in providing and that you feel you could get up to speed on fairly quickly if you were to land the project. Don't make the criteria those projects that you have experience in working on, because you're right, then they would be a very short list. And that served me and it served many of my coaching clients really well. What you want, Allison, is you want to create a situation where what you have on the page might make you nervous, but they're there because you're interested in them. You would like to do that kind of work, and you have resources you can access fairly quickly if you were to land a project and now you needed to figure it out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes, it does.
You know, so don't put something on there that, oh my gosh, if I land this, I have no idea how I will learn or how I'll figure it out. And essentially, you want to keep kind of a library of resources handy that you can access immediately. So for instance, white papers. Gordon Graham's excellent book, White Paper for Dummies. I think that belongs on everybody's bookshelf, because even if you don't write white papers, there's a lot of information there on how to manage a project with a client, a complex project like a white paper. And if you were to land a white paper or something similar, then that's a book you can pick off your shelf and you can get up to speed very quickly. Does that help?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Crystal asks, I'm sending out my friends and family emails. A couple of them I have had fairly recent contact with, but have connected more on social media instead of personal email. What are your thoughts on connecting with them via Facebook Messenger? It initially feels a bit unprofessional to me, but I have others reaching out to me on Messenger in this way. It doesn't feel odd. Yeah, absolutely fine to use Facebook Messenger, Crystal. If you already connected with them there, and that's where you've had interactions, then stick with that. Don't feel that you have to now move over to email because it's going to look more professional. Not at all. Keep in mind that the nature of your relationship doesn't change. If you are used to communicating with someone in a certain way and using certain language and using a certain platform, keep it that way. Don't move over to something else. Don't change who you are. Don't change the way you communicate. Okay. Very, very important. Hey, Chris, I got your private message. If you wouldn't mind, because I've lost the stuff, the chat from before, can you just send Crystal an email, crystal@b2blauncher.com. Let me know what that is and give me some details. Let her know that you posted about this in the chat in today's call, and she'll get it to me, and I'll take a look at it. Okay, good stuff. I don't see any questions right now, so we have an open floor. We got time for maybe one more question. While I'm waiting, though, I would like to just kind of do a quick recap here and find out, so far, what has been a really good takeaway from today's call. It could be something you and I talked about. It could be something that you heard me talk to somebody else about. If you wouldn't mind going to the chat area and just typing in a capital T and letting me know what that is, I'm just curious to know. And also would love to know, what is your top action item from today's conversation? So I don't want anyone to walk away from these calls ever, not really just being motivated and that's it. We're having their question answered and that's it. That's a great first step, but we need to go beyond that. So what is one thing that you're going to do over the next 2 weeks that will help move your business forward? Okay. I'd prefer if it's something you're going to do in the next few days, because 2 weeks seems like a long time. And, we tend to be overly optimistic when it feels like a long time. So top takeaway, type in a capital T, let me know, and then type in an A and let me know what your top action item was from today's conversation. Beth has got a question here. Takeaway, that tip about full names and titles and testimonials. Mine are currently first names only. Oh, good. I'm glad I mentioned that then. Good. Charlene says, takeaway, keep moving forward and momentum. Yes, this work is so much about momentum. Very, very important. It's kind of like riding a bike. If you want to get that momentum, it becomes so much easier to continue pedaling once you have the momentum. If you stop every 5 minutes to check your phone and you're on a bike, you're going to exhaust yourself trying to get back up to speed. Okay, Regina says, action item, submit my web copy for review in the next 3 days. Excellent. Charlene says, action item, starting session 4, so we'll be entering the arena of prospecting. Wonderful. Chris says, top takeaway, read the Obliquity book. It looks interesting. It is a great book. It's a short book. Keep prospecting, keep writing. Good stuff. Marie says, I'm going to step up the warm meal prospecting each day and go on to the next module, which is 8, trying to keep a positive attitude, which I find difficult. It is. It can be, Marie. And that's why, so important to just, it's more important for you to get a win for that reason alone than it is for the money that you'll make, right? Because it will have such a positive impact on your attitude and your confidence. Salih says, okay, I'm going to get back to you, Salih. You got a question there. Esther, listing services I want to offer regardless of whether I actually have experience in them. Yeah, good. Beth, action item, I need to keep moving. There you go. Edris, top takeaway, list the industries I can learn quickly. Cynthia's action items, complete the final session, beefing up on prospecting. By the way, quick aside, side comment, guys, do not stop prospecting in December or even as we get really close to Christmas just because you think it's over. It's like there's no use. In fact, the closer you get to Christmas, I have found the better the opportunity to connect with prospects. Marketers everywhere are basically slowing down, shutting down for the year, so inboxes are not going to be as crowded. If you're actually going to be working between Christmas and New Year's, also a great time to send out prospecting emails. You'd be surprised at how much more attention your email will get, and the response rate can be much, much higher. Also, people are in a better mood, and they're willing to at least engage over our email and set up a call or some discussions for first of the year, and that's what you want. So definitely keep moving with your prospecting, even as we approach Christmas and between Christmas and New Year's if you're going to be around. Cynthia's going to complete the final session. Allison, takeaway was more important to make progress before worrying about pivoting. John says, finish the next session. Esther's action item, continue to warm meal prospecting and join a networking group. Susan's takeaway, the pricing comments you made as per Chris's question really helped me to think through my pricing strategy with my new client. I also appreciated your comment about how you can mention services you don't have any experience in yet. Yeah, but keep reference materials on your shelf. This happened to me this week as I bought your prospecting course months ago and sure came in handy this week. Oh, awesome. Allison's action items, start and finish my website. Crystal's takeaway was to focus the most energy on getting a paying client. Everything else, do a minimum viable product. Susan's action items, completing work with a client, proposing new prospects for 2020. Good stuff. Charlene says, thanks for the input on prospecting during the holidays. Absolutely. All right, Salih, this is good stuff, guys. Let me get to you on your question. He says, my niche is serving higher education, universities, and publishing companies' houses. As an editor, ghostwriter, reviewer, as my website shows that. I'm also providing services for B2B educational companies. Okay. Is that considered broadening too much for my niche? And do I need to narrow it down? I don't think it is. No, I think you're fine. I think that's a great place to start. You will narrow it down as you go, but I think it's broad enough right now to allow for some different possibilities. And then as you get moving, you start landing some work, some clients, then you can start narrowing it down as it makes sense. So then he asked, should I focus on editing, ghostwriting, reviewing only right now, or is it appropriate to make it later on gradually? I would say you can include all of those. That's fine. You can include all of those. And again, as you get more experience, you start seeing what works, what's not working, what you like and don't like, then you can start narrowing it down. But I think it's okay to keep it a little broader at first, just like you are right here. So, okay. All right, guys. So this is, that's it. Great call today. I appreciate all the interaction, the great questions. You guys are doing wonderfully well. Keep up that momentum. Okay. Again, this is really more about getting results that are going to give you the motivation to keep pushing yourself, the confidence to keep stretching yourself, than about the money you'll make from those first couple of clients. Okay. So keep doing, keep moving, don't stop. It's all about consistency. It's all about developing these habits. And if you focus on implementing these systems consistently, the results will come. All right. All right, guys, have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk again soon. Take care, everybody.